Welcome to Mobility Matters, KMM's podcast about transportation issues that pertain to traffic mitigation, sustainability, bicycle and pedestrian safety, and economic development in Middlesex County. Today, we are joined by Lena Lona, president of the Middlesex County Regional Chamber of Commerce, to talk with us a little bit about economic development and the current state of travel and tourism in Middlesex County. Welcome, Lena.
Hi, how are you today?
And good morning. This is Bill Neary, executive director of Keep Middlesex Moving. Lena, we also want to welcome you, based in New Brunswick, but you also represent the region of Middlesex County. When you're looking at how things have changed and things are happening, from a Chamber of Commerce point of view and from your point of view, your personal background, how it impacts what you think is going to be happening as we do a COVID recovery?
Well, on a chamber perspective, it's been very difficult for all of our businesses, specifically our small businesses, the restaurants, our larger hotels, our smaller hotels, the theaters, any recreation that people normally would do really has been at a standstill. Sports, I mean, we're a Big Ten area, and that was a major impact also. So the COVID has really, again, from a business perspective, done a lot of damage to our small businesses. We have lost a few. The others are struggling. And our hope and our mission as a chamber is to do whatever we can to help them through this, and that they're here at the end of this pandemic or whatever follows the pandemic, that they can thrive. From my personal view, it's been, I think, difficult to watch this. They've become friends. We're in downtown. We know the mailman. We know the restaurateurs. We know the folks who run the hotels. And, you know, there's no people here. You know, I say to people, just imagine if your town was the county seat and no one was working, they're working from home. If your town had the courts and no one was working. If your town holds a university that has 50,000 students, and that does not include the educators, and they were all remote. Think of it. Who is on the streets to go to the restaurants, go to the dry cleaner, go to the drugstore? So it's been difficult, me personally, because I know these people and I want to see them when this is all over. I'm hopeful. I've seen it get better. But I think we have a long way to go with it. So that's on a personal, you know, note on it.
And I would say on a personal note, also, you have the business itself you have to run. Your own business has not been a challenge also. With these other challenges beyond that, you have to have the besides the rapport, you need the financial support of these businesses also. It's been difficult for the chamber.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you have to remember, this is a organization that you're joining because you want to join. You don't have to join. You want to join. And the reason you're joining is to network and to increase your business. And it's an organization that holds events. So 50% of our revenue comes from membership, the other 50 from events. There have been no events. And in all honesty, how much can you charge for a Zoom call? It's a lot different than having a luncheon or a dinner or a networking event. So that was a challenge. I will say this, for our nonprofits, if they could not pay the membership, we've kept them as members. And we've said to them, when you can pay, let us know. And we've done the same thing with the hotels. I mean, if you can't pay your employees and can't pay your electric bill, you're not paying the chamber. It's just not happening. So we've been very flexible. We've been fortunate with our renewals and the new members we have gained, because we tried to keep up with this. We were one of the first chambers to do Zoom events. I've been here. My staff has been here. We also do certificates of origin. You know, you're going to say, what's a certificate of origin? If you ship out of this country, anywhere in the world, you need a seal from the Chamber of Commerce. In the 1920s, there were a lot of Chamber of Commerces. Nowadays, not so much. I mean, there's ourselves. We've got Edison, Woodbridge, Somerset Business Partners, and Princeton. I must do each week anywhere from 8 to 10. If they don't get a seal from me, they can't ship out. So now I'm stopping business. So we made it a point, we never closed. There has been someone here every day for that reason, to be able to support this. So it's been interesting, Bill. Thank you for asking. It's been very interesting. And hopefully we've pivoted enough that we can stay relevant to our businesses. So
that's really interesting. I had no idea that the businesses doing work, you know, business out of the country needed a certificate from the chamber.
So, if you're exporting,
Mm. One of the other things about Middlesex County is we are an attraction for travel and tourism. It's hard for some people to believe, but that's one of the other things of your big school that you're working on is the Convention and Visitors Bureau, promoting travel. And that's another economic engine that's been slowed down dramatically by COVID. But I know you talk about the hotels, you talk about the restaurants, just business travel itself must be a real problem for the Convention and Visitors Bureau.
You know, it's hard to believe to a lot of our constituents from South County. Now, we're a big county. We have 25 towns. You know, you talk about travel and tourism in Cranberry or, you know, Jamesburg and Carteret and Edison, you're going to get different responses. We have been consistently the top 5 to 6 counties with travel and tourism revenue coming in. And that's gauged by the hotel tax. When you stay at a hotel, there's a tax and we can gauge it. We can also tell by revenues from our restaurants. We're big on business travel. In Middlesex County, between, you know, Woodbridge and Edison, all the way down to Plainsboro, which is Middlesex County, not Mercer, we have a lot of hotels. And they are being in conference centers. And these are what businesses do. They meet and they stay over. And it's big business for us. I would say that has been the biggest impact, the most devastating to this pandemic. You will see hotels not open. I don't like saying that, but that is a fact. It's you just don't have any heads in beds. Bill's right. We have Big Ten. And you say, oh, they don't do that good. You know, that football team, they're getting better, but they're not there. Well, let me tell you something. When we have a game, all the hotels are awful because they travel well. And we really promote that. We are actively promoting in Michigan, in Nebraska. Believe it or not, they travel well. Ohio State, they come, they go to a game, and they spend money. They stay here, and they eat in our restaurants, and hopefully they do other things. And then the third component of travel for us that we promote, it's usually meetings and the hotels, and Big Ten is local. That I will tell you, we've diverted most of our funding that we get from the state for marketing to local. And if you ask me if anything good came out of this, we closed the downtown streets. That's a big deal.
That is huge. I think New Brunswick has done an amazing job with keeping people engaged. And when you go to a Big Ten football game here in New Brunswick, you're sitting on George Street, which has been something that we've all been hoping for and striving for decades, right? To close down George Street and make it a pedestrian plaza. And you see that screen and the people are cheering and it's just electrifying. It's like, you know, my nephew, he went to UF and there's such a electricity in the air when they're playing. And it felt very similar to that, you know, like going to a Penn State game and everybody's just wearing that blue and white and cheering for their team. And you get that now in New Brunswick. And I think that really does speak to how, you know, everybody has just rallied around the community and the businesses in New Brunswick.
And that's the type of things we do at Keep Middlesex Moving too, to encourage the infill, the towns, the cities to become walkable and livable communities. So it follows along the things we're working on. So at KMM, we're also promoting those kind of programs. I mean, we actually have a program to help people get around the traffic, getting into the stadium and getting these kind of places. So there's things that all the businesses work together on. I think it's great. In terms of the Convention and Visitors Bureau, you're saying it's not just the hotels and restaurants. When you think about hotels, somebody who stays in a hotel, the occupancy tax, a good portion of that goes to the property tax relief of the municipalities. So it's an economic development engine, not just for the businesses, but also for the governments, the local governments, to try and recoup some revenue from the out-of-town visitors.
No, you're right, Bill. And, you know, it's funny. I can't give you numbers for today, for 2021. But prior to the pandemic, the average household in Middlesex County, because of our travel and tourism, $1,700 were saved in property tax, in taxes. That's a big number when you think about it. So, I like to talk about the downtown. You both mentioned, you know, the games and how nice it is, but We don't have a busy summer. The shore is really where people go in New Jersey. So if you're an interior county or an interior town, you know, the Metuchens, the New Brunswicks, you know, this, or even Cranberry, you're not there. You're at the beach or at the shore somewhere. We had our best summers these last 2 years. People came out. That's really been our biggest goal, is to get the word out, to come here and go and have dinner, go to a show, or just walk around. And we had the best summers. The businesses will tell you they've never had such great summers. And I think that's my biggest challenge, is to get the word out to people outside the county to come in, that you can sit outside and eat. You can go to a show. We had live music every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Depending where you were on George Street, you had a jazz quartet, or you had someone doing blues. We had them at significant spots, so not too loud, but it would engage people. And I was telling a story to a friend of mine. My dad had gotten sick, not the first summer of 2020, and I had to take him over to the hospital, RWJ, just for the day for something quick that had to be done. But we left late, and it was like 9 o'clock at night, and I'm coming down Albany because I'm going to go jump on 18. So I hit the light on George Street in Albany. Now, we have twinkling lights all the way down. Tables are out. Music is playing. My father's in his late 80s. He says to me, we're stopped at the light. He looks and he says, what's this? It looks like Europe. What's happening? You know, that's what my goal is, to get more people out. And, you know, I Bill knows this, and Arlene, I'll share with you. Right now, we're running ads on the radio at the shore. Because people at the shore don't go to you're not going to the shore now. So we're doing ads on our theater performances, on Valentine's Day specials, and just to get people to come up this way. Anything that we can do to get them to cross that Monmouth County, Somerset, you know, come down from Morris County, that's our goal, to get them down here and just experience, you know, what we have to offer. Once you come, I think you'll come back.
Well, you mentioned briefly twice about the shows. I think that's another big draw for the hub city and for our region, is our cultural experiences. The county has invested a lot of time, money, and certainly updated the facilities that we have here. We have some tremendous theatrical performances, and State Theater is one of the busiest in America for different types of shows and different types of performances. So I know you're also working with State Theater a lot in their types of promotions, and I think that's a big draw that we have.
There is a group here, it's a cultural group in New Brunswick, and it's part of the county too. And we're also promoting Carteret, what they're doing in, you know, Woodbridge, the outdoor theaters in the summer at the park. So we're really trying to get the word out that there's a lot to do. And it's not just the theater. We have so much, the jazz festival. It's a three county jazz festival. I mean, these are the things that a lot of people don't know about. And I think it's really important for us just to let people know, just to come in, and there's something for everyone. And while you're doing that, have a bite to eat. You can go from Destination Dogs to Salt. I mean, there's something really for everyone. And I think we're still a secret, to be honest with you.
And, you know, you mentioned, you know, Carteret and Woodbridge. I mean, the redevelopment that's going on in Woodbridge and the opening of the Avenel Performing Arts Center is just really changing the town. And it's bringing in a lot of people who normally would never have thought to go into Woodbridge. The businesses that are opening up and everything that's happening along Main Street is attracting a large group of people, even from out of state, who are coming down the turnpike, and they say, let's stop here, let's watch this show, and let's, you know, go down to downtown Woodbridge and grab a bite to eat and shop there. So it really, you know, the arts in Middlesex County is just exploding.
Well, I also think it's a matter of how Middlesex County has, we talk about New Brunswick being the big city, but actually it's not the biggest municipality. It's right. Because the municipalities themselves, some of the smaller towns are support some of the bigger cities. Edison may not have a downtown, but the middle of the town is Metuchen, which is a beautiful little downtown. So you have a combination of big and small urban and suburban communities all kind of joining together for economic development strategies. It's an interesting concept, especially in America. New Jersey is a little bit unique in that way. Our downtowns are something that people want to go to.
Yeah,
it's not the necessarily go shopping at the interstate, at the big box retailer all the time. And it's also the personal touches of not just chain restaurants. I think that's all part of what the charm that makes it unique in Middlesex County, especially.
I love Perth Amboy. I mean, I always say to people, if I have pictures of the waterfront that I've shown to family and they're like, where is that? Where's the shore? I said, it's Perth Amboy. They're like, you've got, I mean, I say it's a secret that we just need to get the secret out. And it's economic development at its best. I mean, truly. And I think it withstands a lot of, other than this pandemic, people like to travel. They like to go out to eat. They like to experience things. And I think you can take them to Cranberry and all the way up to Woodbridge. It's different. Plainsboro. I mean, we have a lot. I mean, and I just think we need to share the good news. And the more we can do that, the better off we'll all be.
Well, the other good news, of course, is going back to what, I hate the word new normal, but new normal is what's going to happen. I think there is a thaw going on right now from the isolation we faced the last couple of years, but there's still a danger that people feel. I think the contributions of the chamber to try and make people feel comfortable about being together. The chamber was one of the first organizations that I've worked with that's actually starting to do some live events. Mm-hmm. We've also had to cancel some live events. Sure. So it's like we're kind of on that cutting edge. How do you think the chamber is going to be working into this new kind of concept of Zooming and live events and doing the COVID, post-COVID world? You see any big changes going to happen, or are we already changed enough?
I don't know. I think we're going to keep changing. I don't know if this is over. I mean, I look at it this way. We need to make people feel comfortable and safe. We required proof of vaccination because, like all of us, prior to Omicron, if you were vaccinated and you could feel comfortable going somewhere with other vaccinated people because there was not the worry of contracting something. So I do think that was important at the time. It was important to limit events. I felt very uncomfortable doing an event more than 100. I know other people did 200, 150, and I'm sure they did it safely, but I tried to ease my way into it. Now we come to now. So I think, Bill, it's going to continue changing. I don't think there is a normal anymore. I think it's just like everything in life changes, and we just have to adapt and do the best we can. I think that's what a lot of people don't do on both sides of the aisle on what they do. They just don't respect them, and they should. You know, everyone's entitled.
Yeah. Well, I think you're right about the scars. I think the scars from this are going to be there for as long as we all know.
Yeah. Long time.
But mm-hmm. The adaptation with those, I think, makes it possible for us to do that. The comfort level that we all started feeling in December that was shut down by Omicron, yep, has made things a little bit harder to adjust. But I think that made it a little bit more easy for some of us to accept the dangers, if that's the right way to look at it. Mm-hmm. That we do have to face some of these issues head on. We can't just hide in our caves and not exist, because that's nothing good for business. It's not good for employees, employers, or people in general. I mean, we have to get out. And I think people are getting out. I mean, I think some of our supply chain issues are people supply. There's not enough people,
yes,
to do the work. And I think that's why we're running the problem. Certainly the businesses are scrambling now that they're trying to recover and they don't have the people to help them recover. And I think that's another thing the chamber can do. When you start going to a live event and you're networking people, and you find out that this person has an employee who knows somebody, we can start filling some of these gaps in employees. I think that's an important part. At KMM here, we have a New Jersey Smart Workplaces Award for companies that do things that we think are good for smart workplace in terms of transportation. And when you talk about transportation, it has to do with all those things. People getting to work, people getting supplies to whoever they have to send it to or collect from. It's a matter of movement of goods, movement of people, and transportation is a part of it. That's why we think KMM is important, working with the chamber, working with the business community, and working with individuals about how they can get to and from places. And now, it's economic development, too.
I agree with you. And I think we learned a lot. Yes, you can work from home. There's nothing wrong with that. You can do more. You know, I think sometimes you need things like this to look at everything and say, look, there's no right or wrong. We can adjust. We can do just as good doing it this way. And I think it's a good thing. I think it's good for people's lifestyles. I think it's good for their health. I just would like to see a balance more. That's what I'm, if it can be done. You know, I believe that people should be able to work from home. They should go to an office too, because all those things trickle down to the newsstand, to the guy selling coffee, to the dry cleaner. I feel very fortunate that I can work from home and my staff can. Those folks don't have that choice. So I think we need to find a balance, to be honest with you, so that everyone wins, you know?
So Lena, what is your advice in order to help support the business, the local businesses and that are struggling? I mean, I was really happy to find out that the old Duemati location has been filled, because that's a really nice spot and we really love Duemati. So it's nice to see that there are new businesses coming in, and we have so many corridors here in Middlesex County that have empty storefronts. And so we do have to support those businesses.
We have become, and rightfully so, very accustomed. I have, I'm sure you have, to ordering, to going online, to, you know, it's just more convenient. It's easier. But then, you know, how often we get to say, oh my God, is that Macy's, one of ours, that's going to close down? Well, like, you know, I have this conversation. I have a 30-year-old son. I said, you know, the things you do, you have to consciously think about how it impacts everyone around you. You mentioned the Duemari. Do you realize that facility was filled in 2019? They have not opened. That 2019. So they went in and signed a lease to start a business. And now it's 2022 and they're not open yet. That's not, you know, something horrible. I think it's just smart because they're paying their rent, but they realize there's an employee shortage. How many people are really dining out? And that's really, even if you do it personally, that's a corporate location. J&J, Colgate-Palmolive, Hoagland, I can tell you all the big guys, they take people out. Attorneys take them out. They either go to Salt or they go to Old Man Rafferty's or Duemari or now Cousins. You need these people back. J&J has 2,700 people there. They're not all back. And now it's, you know, you need people, at least some kind of flow. And I think as a person, you know, it's like, I feel like I'm teaching CCD again. We have to make, I do. I feel like, you know, I can't tell people what to do, but you have to almost make a personal choice and say, listen, I love going to a good bookstore. I could lose myself in there all day. I think you need to make a conscious choice and say, oh, I'm ordering, I'm going to order local. You know what? I'm going to meet a friend for lunch. Even if it is just Destination Dogs, let's meet there for lunch. Don't go when it's busy. Go, you have to go what makes you feel comfortable, or order out. But I went back to the theater when State Theater, we buy the Broadway series, my husband and I, we love it. We do it with the two other couples. We normally meet in New Brunswick and eat first, then go to the show. We went, we had a great time. The theater was filled. I mean, we went to see, The Donna Summer Show was the first one that we went to see. And we're going to see Waitress, and we're going to go, and we have tickets for the whole season. It was great to go out, but we're comfortable. You know, I think that comfort level is a personal thing, but they should choose, if they can, go to that Ace Hardware. I love Lowe's and Home Depot, but go to the Ace.
You're right. As the big stores are starting to close down and the big box retailing seems to be shrinking, the giants of like Amazon are opening up retail locations.
Yeah.
And the logistics industry in Middlesex County is growing. I mean, there's a warehouse a month opening up someplace, especially South County. But that's going to be changing dramatically the workforce in Middlesex County too. Already, warehousing and logistics are one of our number one employers. Mm-hmm. I mean, and healthcare is another one. It's a big employer. So these are all normal things that are abnormal. That's going to be happening and changing our workforce as we go ahead. We know of colleagues in businesses like ours who've actually hired people they've never met. They've never met in person. They're working this way for now 2 years. And that's, I guess that's how it's going to be happening. Autonomous vehicles that we see coming are going to be very big in terms of mass transit. They're going to be very big in terms of the shipping of goods. Trucks are going to be autonomous all in the future. This is somewhere down the road, but it's going to answer questions that we're looking at today, that we're short truck drivers, but 25 years from now, do we need truck drivers? And I don't know the answer to those questions any more than anybody else, but I can see where businesses have to adapt. And what you're talking about, Lena, was very important. A chamber is there to see these changes on a one-on-one with businesses themselves. They can communicate with itself. And that's where I think the chamber is so important.
So before I think that's we a wrap good up.
Yeah, I think that's a good optimistic way to wrap up. Lena, you guys have been tremendous. Lena, thank you so much.
I
think we are talking about the challenges, but by talking about the challenges, we also get the solutions. And I think the Chamber of Commerce is going to be right there at the forefront, keeping us moving forward. And from us, transportation world, we're going to do our best to keep Middlesex moving.
So before we wrap up, how about we just let everybody know some of our favorite places in Middlesex County to visit? I'll go first.
Go ahead.
Rutgers Gardens and the Thomas Edison Center in Menlo Park.
Mm-hmm. I would say I'm a park person. So
yeah.
I like the outdoors. Listen, there are in Plainsboro, the preserve is beautiful. Go into Cranberry. Oh, Jamesburg, Thompson Park. And we are very, very fortunate. The Raritan River, just going along the Raritan, it's beautiful. So I'd say go outside and enjoy us. It's just so much to do here.
How about you,
Bill? I like the parks also. My favorite parks beyond the parks, though, of course, is we have a lot of historic sites here.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very deep history of the Revolutionary War that was fought here. We have the Edison Tower and Edison from Thomas Edison. So there's history, there's culture. I like going to the shows and theater, and I like walking in the trails and parks. The Edison Greenway is a great walk. Mm-hmm. It's safe, it's clean, and it's filled with people all day walking along some very interesting parts in Middlesex County, surrounded by millions of people, and you feel like you're all alone sometimes.
Well, Bill, thank you for inviting me. And Arlene, it was great speaking with you, and I wish you the best. And I look forward to seeing you downtown in Brunswick eating at a restaurant outside.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us, Lena. It was a great conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Funded by the North Jersey Transportation Planning Authority and the Federal Highway Administration.